the Rule of Threes Podcast. The Rule of Threes Podcast. It's the Rule of Threes Podcast with Chris and Casey.
It's the Rule of Threes Podcast. I'm Chris Grace.
I'm Casey Lawrence.
And it's Tuesday, October 29th, 2019.
Woo!
Yeah, baby.
We're here now. Your favorite Houston Rockets podcast. Holy moly. Big developments over the last week. Chris has...
I tried.
That he can't do the Patrick Beverley experiment.
Yeah. It's just, I couldn't watch it.
Can't watch it.
I'm trying to think of what the game it was that I watched.
It was the Suns game, right?
Was it the Suns? No, it was the one where it was the Golden State game.
Golden State game
and the subsequent taunting of a janitor.
Yeah, I mean, I was just like, that's a tough one.
I can't do it. Can't do it.
If they fired Patrick Beverley into the Sun, would you be able to?
Yeah, probably.
So all I have to do is trade him to Phoenix?
Well, the problem is so when you're... Okay, if you have like old team loyalty, like I love the Lakers, right?
Yes.
That's one thing. But if you're looking for a different team to root for, it mostly depends on the personalities of the players.
Yes, it does.
I just hate Patrick Beverley. I cannot stand watching him.
That's fair.
And even in a situation where I'm like, I'm rooting for this team, now this guy plays for my team, I still can't stand it.
Wow. See, because everybody always says, if he's on your team, you love him.
Yeah. Did not find that to be the case.
All right.
Mostly because I don't like guys who talk a lot of trash and start a lot of stuff if they then kind of suck.
Okay.
And he kind of sucks.
Yeah.
By the way, he's not... we're only three games in, but it's funny to watch his three-point shooting because I still don't think he's a good offensive player or a good shooter, but the defense of him has been he's a good three-point shooter.
And his numbers over his career bear that out.
Yes. This year he is not good.
But he's had a bad couple of games.
Yeah.
And his on-ball defense hasn't been that great.
No. Who threw 30 on him the other day?
Devin Booker.
Yeah. I mean, here's how bad it is. That exchange made me like Devin Booker.
Yeah.
Who I don't like.
Yeah, you hate Devin Booker, but you don't hate Devin Booker in the same way you hate Patrick Beverley.
Well, this is the way you find out who you really like or don't like. Like, going into the game, is like, I don't like Devin Booker, I don't like Patrick Beverley. When they butt heads, who do I gravitate towards?
Who's the guy you pick in that
situation?
And
I much prefer Devin Booker shooting a three-pointer in Patrick Beverley's face and then woofing at him down the court.
Getting P-Bev to foul out.
Yeah.
And then waving goodbye.
Yeah.
You know, that's a move that I think everybody respects.
Yeah.
The goading someone into getting kicked out of a game and then waving goodbye at them.
Yeah.
Joel Embiid does that, you know.
And yeah, like, there's something satisfying about that.
There are two ways to do it, right? There's the make somebody upset, get them two technicals, then you wave goodbye. Then there's the just beat them over and over again and make them foul you six times, and then they're bye-bye.
Yeah.
And that way is the most respectable way to bring that goodbye taunt into it.
Because that just means like you just couldn't stick with me for the whole game.
Yeah.
Like you had to keep fouling me in order for you to stop me.
Yeah, 100%.
So, and here's the problem. Without Patrick Beverley, there isn't a lot of personality on that team to like...
I don't know. I mean,
well, Kawhi is not a personality.
I'm not here to tell you what's what. But I think the Montrezl Harrell Lou Williams personality duo is fantastic.
I think a lot of Lou Williams' personality is in his game, which I love. Like, yeah. I enjoy watching Lou Williams.
And Lou Williams is the only guy to openly have a polyamorous relationship in the league.
Oh.
Yeah. When he was in Toronto, he had two girlfriends.
Hey.
Yeah, and they were all living together.
Good for him.
So, you know, I mean, that's a bit of personality. That's
the only openly polyamorous.
The only, I mean, you know, I mean, I'm
or
sure.
Officially polyamorous.
Officially, like, hey, we're making this one work.
Right. I'm pretty indifferent towards Paul George.
I will say,
leaning towards dislike.
here's the thing that I dislike the most about Paul George.
Mm-hmm.
He might have the worst logo, personal logo in the league. That PG logo of his, where it's a P and a G, and it looks like two triangles put together to make a terrible infinity sign.
Ooh,
is awful. It's
I'm looking at it now.
Truly one of the worst logos. And this is not to say that there are a lot of really good personal logos in the league. Most personal logos for basketball players are pretty bad. But I do not think I'd be going out on a limb if I said this was the worst one.
I recently saw Fred Van Vliet's, which is pretty good.
Ooh.
Have you seen his?
I have not seen Fred Van Vliet's.
I'll tilt my laptop over.
Oh, you know what? I like that because
like Van Halen.
It is a little bit like Van Halen. And it's a solid design and the triangle looks nice. But Paul George's just looks like somebody who's like, how can I make this on Fiverr?
What's this Paul George logo? See that? That's pretty good.
That's his old one. That's the one that has the 13, right?
Oh, is he not 13 anymore?
I am not sure. I can't remember.
The old one is a P and a G sort of melded together, and there is also a 13 in it. I think that's a great logo.
Okay.
This triangle infinity one is, I'll tell you why it's poor. Because the P doesn't look like a P, and the G doesn't really look like a G, and the whole thing looks like an M.
Yeah, well, see, it's an M because he's a man. It's a triangle infinity symbol because to win, you've got to get all sides of the triangle. He's trying to bring Tex Winter back from the grave.
Yeah, and well, why not back in L.A.?
Back in L.A.
PG also was a thing. This is sort of a corollary to why I don't like Patrick Beverly, but like putting out an ad that's like, there's not going to be overtime tonight. And then like whatever that Gatorade ad was.
He did a Gatorade ad where he said there's not going to be overtime tonight.
What's the thing where he's like,
was this a long time ago? And he looked into the camera and was like, there's not going to be overtime tonight.
Something like that.
Show him the tunnels.
I think it's him. I'll look it up. But basically it's where him where he's like, no OT tonight. And like right after that, he missed a bunch of game winners. You know what?
That was Paul George. You are correct. Yeah. He did that. Now I am remembering. He looks at the camera. He shoots the shot and goes, no OT tonight. Or he does it in the other order.
Whatever
he looks.
Yeah.
And then he shoots. Yes, I remember that one. I'm not going to deck him for...
I'm just saying it hurts your... If you focus your branding around like...
That's not his branding. That's Gatorade's branding.
Yeah.
Right. They got him to say it. Gatorade got him to say it. I'm not sure. I'm sure Paul George didn't write no OT tonight. I think that one's going to work. That's not Paul George. He may have come up with his logo by himself because it's that bad.
If it was Blake Griffin, he would have written his because he would have interned with an ad agency.
Yes, 100%. Pulled a Darius Baisley.
Okay. So it's hard for me to root for the Clippers because I find their team very unlikable.
Uh-huh.
So that's a hard thing to do. And also, because of my loyalty to Lakers, I do end up watching Lakers games being like, well, they're pretty good. Like,
yeah.
The tough thing with the Lakers this year is I still kind of dislike LeBron. But also, like, their team is a real – it feels like a real talent drops off a cliff after, like, the third spot maybe.
I mean, it's LeBron James, Anthony Davis. You know, you can debate the order of those two guys.
Yeah.
And you got Alex Caruso, and it just drops right off the cliff.
I'll tell you, Anthony Davis is the main reason I will root for the Lakers this year.
Yeah.
I just enjoy watching him and, you know, spend a couple, half of an hour putting together post-up stats on him and then get tired and quit in the middle.
Here's my question. How do you feel about LA's new favorite Laker?
Who's that?
That's Dwight Howard.
Well, from watching the games... I can tolerate this version of Dwight Howard.
Ding, 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 ding. You are absolutely correct. This version of Dwight Howard is absolutely tolerable because he's playing good and he's not being a dickhead.
Yeah.
Why couldn't he have done this in 2012 is the question.
Because he was like the man in 2012. He
was the man.
And he had to be that.
Seven years later, beaten down through stops in Atlanta and Charlotte and barely Brooklyn. And,
yeah.
Goodbye. And Washington. Wow, I almost forgot that he didn't play any games for Washington. Or one game, or I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, now he has this... Now he's a role player. He's essentially doing what Carmelo needs to figure out how to do.
Yes.
So...
That's a good point. And Dwight's not young anymore, but he's not as old as Carmelo is either. Mm-mm. He's, you know, I think Dwight's 31, something like that.
And the thing is, when he's healthy, he's still a tall, athletic person.
Yeah.
So
he doesn't have the bounce he used to, but he is crafty around the rim. He's grabbing rebounds. He's making it happen. And LA is loving him for it.
Yeah. I mean, he's playing 20 minutes a game and he's grabbing almost 8 rebounds a game.
That's great.
That's pretty crazy.
That's really, really good.
Yeah. How many block shots? 2.3 block shots in the 3 games so far. Playing 20 minutes a game.
Great. That's really good.
That's pretty crazy. Between him and Anthony Davis, we have good rim production this
year. Yes, yeah.
But so, yeah, as long as he stays in his lane, as they say, So anyway, I don't know. I'm indifferent to all this bullshit. So which leads us to the point that now the Rockets are my favorite team.
Yeah. Okay. Which I guess also leads us to another point. We've got a game of the week.
Yes.
We're trying out some features that we talked about last year a little bit.
We want to give you guys a game that Casey and I are definitely going to watch. And that you can watch too, since we're a weekly podcast. We're not trying to get in on hot takes every 24 hours.
No.
That way you've got like a game that you've watched that we can talk about. It's basically like, you know, all watching the same movie.
Yeah. Let's start a little club here. It's the Rule of Threes Basketball Club of the week.
Maybe we should start with Parasite as our first.
Would love to start with Parasite. It's about as long as a basketball game and, has as many twists and turns.
Yeah.
You know, while basketball has five people on the court, Parasite's got four.
Yeah.
And that's important.
I host three podcasts, and there's a very good chance this week that all three of them get diverged into Parasite talk.
No, you need to bring us all together as like a super podcast.
Yes.
So that we can
get Parasite. Like,
you know, start the movie crossover podcast event of the Invisible Treats Network.
Yeah. The thing that makes it less... like lengthy is that generally there's not much to say about Parasite if you haven't seen it. Like, you should just go see it.
Yes. Yeah. Any Parasite talk needs to be go see the movie and then talk about it.
Yeah.
I have a friend of mine who was talking about how he wants us to, like, you know, tell him more about movies before he goes to see them. And I'm like, that's not how I like to watch movies.
He likes to be prepped a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, he doesn't know what the movie's about, so he doesn't know if he wants to go see it. And it's like, all I want to know before I go see a movie is just like the name of the movie. And
I hate when you're going to go see a movie and somebody's like, what's this about again? Or like,
you'll find out in 10 minutes.
What genre is this? What kind of movie is this?
No, I don't
just go see it.
Just go see the movie and talk to me about it afterwards. I have so many things to say about these movies afterwards.
Yeah. So I did watch a little bit of Houston Rockets, Thunder.
So talk to me about the Rockets, because I have not watched them play yet this season.
Well, first of all, the two dudes are getting along fine.
Okay.
And
there was that one gif from the first game, though. Was that an overreaction? Yeah,
when there was like, I actually didn't see that game, and I didn't bother to like look up the clip of whether or not it actually was.
Yeah.
I will say that, I mean, so all of our talk about basketball this year is three games in for all the teams. So it's pretty meaningless.
Yeah. Couple of teams that are four games
in. But pretty meaningless.
Yeah.
So far, though, I will say that Russell Westbrook's shot selection is better. And he's shooting a lot more judiciously.
That's good.
He's shooting less and scoring he's actually scoring more than he was last year. Shooting less, scoring more.
That's great.
Harden has given up some points on his end.
Okay.
But they're both throwing a lot of assists. Is that what you do with assists?
You could toss an assist. You could hand an assist.
So, I mean, I would say overall, they're if this is a little preview of how the year is going to go, this isn't bad. Last year, Russell Westbrook scored like 22 points a game. This year, he's scoring 24. And I think he's shooting like three or four less shots a game.
Okay. Is his percentage about the same, about like 40%?
He's hitting 50% of his field goal attempts.
Oh, that's good.
And he's attempting 16 a game. So it's not like that's a fair amount.
Yeah.
I believe Harden is shooting more three-pointers than he was last year and hitting a lot less. I mean, who knows? A lot of this
so early.
Seems the percentage like regression stuff, to the mean is
the percentage stuff just doesn't matter yet.
Yeah.
It's more
except
about like...
for Patrick Beverley.
Yeah.
In which case it is.
Always matters for PBev.
An implication.
Every game. It's a game by game analysis of how much you don't like Patrick Beverley.
Interestingly, you know what? Let me look up rebound. What do you call it?
Rebound rates.
I
tried looking up rebound rate on Basketball Reference, and they don't let you sort by it yet this early in the season. I was furious. Because the other segment that I want to do today is this going to hold? The way too early stat analysis segment.
Right.
And of course, the answer to them all is no, except for one of them. But
well, the reason I bring it up is that the Rockets are, because I was looking before, the Lakers are rebounding very poorly at the moment.
Okay.
And the Rockets are, like, the Rockets have generally been like a small team.
Yeah.
In the last couple of years, and have been not super great about rebounds, and they're actually rebounding pretty well.
I mean, part of that is because that they have the best rebounding guard in the league.
Russell Westbrook?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Adding him is certainly helpful in that case. What rate did you want?
I wanted total rebound rate.
I don't see total rebound rate, but I do see offensive rebound rate.
Oh, what side are you on?
Basketball reference.
Oh, they should be right next to each other.
So I'm looking at this thing that shows like four factors, basically.
Oh, and are you doing it on the team site rather than the all-league?
Team. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's see. The Rockets are 15th in the league in defensive rebounding rate.
Okay.
Which is pretty good. Like, just league average rebounding is good, I guess, for them.
Compared to what you would expect for them.
Yeah, what I expect.
I'd imagine their offensive rebounding rate is low.
Their offensive rebounding is low. They're the 25th in the league.
Because they don't prioritize that.
So the Lakers are very low in rebounding per game.
Okay.
They're like 28th.
But they've also been playing a little slower,
Guess is their pace must be really slow because they're actually rebounding rate doing pretty well. So yeah, their pace is, well, good Lord. They're 28th in the league in pace.
That's absolutely fine.
They're 97.9 possessions per game. Is that how you measure
that's
this?
That's so low.
Possessions per 48 minutes.
That's very low.
Yeah.
Compared to what they have been doing league-wide, right? League-wide paces up. Oh, paces yeah. up.
Everybody, put it this way, everybody except four teams are over 100
yeah.
for pace.
Great.
Did we mention which game we're picking?
We have not
yet. It's going to be a barnstormer based on pace. It's the number one paced and the number three paced teams in the league.
Hit the over on that, y'all, you degenerate gamblers.
That's right. It's Sunday.
Yep.
3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern, I would assume.
That is correct.
The Miami.
No. Yes.
Miami Heat versus the Houston Rockets.
Yep.
Miami leading the league in pace at 109 possessions per 48 minutes.
I mean, every year, Spo gets those guys doing those suicides end-to-end on the court.
And Riley's out there running them with them, probably.
Running them wild.
Yeah.
The Heat have been a very interesting team so far this season.
Mm-hmm.
Kendrick Nunn. Who is Kendrick Nunn, you ask?
In my head, I literally thought that.
Who is Kendrick Nunn? Kendrick Nunn is their rookie this year. That is not Tyler Hero.
Ooh.
And he is a development guy who they were like, oh, we're going to get this guy. We'll see what he is. And he has been shooting the lights out. He's basically been playing shooting guard for them with Jimmy Butler out,
mm-hmm.
and has been giving the league the business mm-hmm. in the first three games. Big surprise. People were not expecting this from Kendrick Nunn, and he has risen to the occasion. Excited to see what happens when he plays against a team that probably won't be able to defend him very well.
And also the
Tyler Hero.
He's doing okay.
Yeah, he's being a rookie, and that means that he has not made nearly as many of his three-point shots as I think people would like him to,
mm-hmm.
especially being that he's like supposed to be a sharpshooter.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, they've gotten contributions from everybody in their first three games. You know, Bam Adebayo is playing good. Justice Winslow had a good game. Goran Dragic is a solid, solid point guard. And like
Goran Dragic, who I did not know, was an all-NBA player.
Oh, yeah.
At one point.
Oh, yeah.
That's pretty crazy.
Yeah, I mean, I think that was his second stint with the Suns when
something
he pulled
like
that off.
He was like third team maybe all-NBA,
yeah.
but like crazy.
Yeah, I mean, he was that good, right?
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean that he is going to be that good in the future, but I think that he's a really good piece on that team.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, let's just say it. Addition by subtraction. They got rid of two guys in the offseason.
Whiteside,
and then they sort of kind of a little bit got rid of Dion Waiters in that he hasn't played yet this season and is not yet back.
But what's
with the
he
team.
Doing? He's causing some trouble somewhere.
He's just complaining about stuff. And here's the thing. Dion Waiters, you're not as good as the new guys. Complain all you want. You ain't playing.
Mm-hmm.
I think this Heat team is going to be a little better than I thought they were going to be. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I mean, based on the first impressions on the season, there's a couple of teams where I think we got to like talk about whether or not their start is indicative of the season
yeah.
that they're going to have.
Well, so. One team, one of our guests brought up, I think, that they thought the Sacramento Kings were going to be better than we thought they were going to
be. Yeah, definitely. One of those guests was just me talking all preseason.
Were you talking about Sacramento Kings?
I mean, I agreed. I have thought the Sacramento Kings were going to be really good.
Yes. So far, they do not.
They haven't been good. They haven't looked good.
They haven't looked like
they have the pieces to be good either. Yeah. It's really a mess up there in Sacramento.
Currently
right now.
At the bottom of the league in terms of net rating.
Great.
Bottom of the leagues in terms of Pythagorean wins.
I mean, you know, when you have the bottom of net rating, you will have those two yeah. stats are correlated.
They sort of are, but not totally on this basketball reference chart.
I mean, they're
Like there's people with, for example, the Detroit Pistons have a net rating of -3, but their Pythagorean wins is 2-2 record.
That's exactly what a Pythagorean record would be for 2-2.
What do you mean?
I
mean is like the Lakers have a +6 net rating and a lower Pythagorean wins rating.
So their Pythagorean win is 2-1?
It's 2-1. And I think there's some sorting here going beyond...
So decimals. 2-2, not... You said 2.2, not 2-2.
2-2 is what I meant.
Sorry. 2-2?
Yeah.
So the Lakers are 2-1?
Yep.
And how is that lower than 2-2?
Well, I'm saying I believe that they calculate something more than one place in Pythagorean wins.
Sorry, you're saying and. Let me take a look.
I'm saying they have them down. The Pistons are down for 2 Pythagorean losses as well.
Got it. They played one more game.
Yep.
They played one more game.
But I'm saying that there's teams with worse, like it doesn't correlate directly to the net ratings, this rankings.
They should be very close. Like it shouldn't be 100% correlation because the Pythagorean wins also take into account your opponents.
Yes.
Net rating should, if not a 1-to-1 correlation, those should be the same because you calculate your Pythagorean wins based on your net rating. Like that's where that's calculated from.
My guess is that the schedule part is screwing with the correlation a lot.
Yeah, probably.
Because there's a lot of places, teams that are sort of like out of where you think they would be.
Got it.
I don't follow Pythagorean wins a lot, but it is fun to see, especially by the end of the season, teams that like they should have won a certain number of games and they didn't.
Yeah, underperformers.
Where just luck or randomness or whatever annoys. But one of those teams, like a very small discrepancy right now, is that Pythagorean-wise, the Pelicans should have won a game by now, and they haven't.
Yes, because all of their games have been pretty close.
Yeah.
Right? With the exception of the game last night against the Warriors, which was, not super close.
Right.
They have been a better team than their record has indicated, because they are one of two winless teams in the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
And the other winless team, sitting over there in the East... The Indiana Pacers.
Who I think we also thought were going to be better.
I thought they were going to be better. And I watched a lot of the Pacers game yesterday,
mm-hmm.
Pacers-Pistons. And they didn't play terribly.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't play great. But I felt like they were, T.J. Warren played a lot better than I expected him to. Had a good game from Domantas Sabonis.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that they're... just not quite there on the defensive end was kind of what I was looking at in that game. They didn't rotate well, and it seemed like Detroit was able to get whatever they want.
Mm-hmm.
And Christian Wood carved him up on the boards, which was wild because mm-hmm. he's the 13th player on that Detroit roster. It's an interesting scenario.
So interestingly, I came into the podcast like I was been thinking the last couple of days about what I was going to talk about in terms of team starting, and I felt myself coming into the podcast coming to talk about how the Utah Jazz weren't playing very well.
Ooh, just because you watched that Laker game.
Well, but also mostly, so they're 3-1, so they're doing fine, but mostly because of how poorly Mike Conley is playing.
That is fair. I think that part of this is like they've won like two games by like a point, something like that. I know like their game last night, they won by like a point.
They beat the Suns by a point and they beat the Thunder opening night by 5 points whatever their first game.
And then their other win was a big win, I believe.
They stomped Sacramento and then they beat they lost to the Lakers by 9.
Easy.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think the interesting thing about how the Jazz have started out is that they are truly not clicking yet,
mm-hmm.
right? On offense, they are not clicking at all because Mike Conley is shooting, guess it?
Oh, percents?
Yeah.
From
the field, Mike Conley is shooting.
Under 25.
You're correct. He's shooting 20% from the field.
Yeah, let me see. It's not like a small amount of attempts.
No, he is shooting the ball, which like you do it, right? You shoot through a slump.
Okay, to be fair, he's shooting from 3. 15%.
That is that's low, but that's at least 10 points higher in EFG that he's grabbing there.
Yeah, that's true. But he's taking 5 3-pointers a game and hitting less than 1.
That's just
good. Well, this is what I mean. You could take encouragement from if you're a Jazz fan, which is they're 3-1.
Yeah.
If Mike Conley even just comes up to just career averages in a lot of his categories,
yeah,
then they're like a powerhouse team.
Yeah, They win every game they played in if Mike Conley has
Conley,
right? Yeah. And they are the Jazz that we expected. That being said, they win every game they play in is 4-0 instead of 3-1.
Right.
And I don't think I'm super worried about them as a team going forward, especially because they added, you know, two incredibly new pieces to their offense and their roster, mm-hmm. right? Adding Conley and Bojan Bogdanovic in there that's going to take a little while to get everything running back up to the speed at which they were last year, which is not to say like they were a world beater on offense last year. They've always been, or at least in this iteration, they've been more of a defensive team than an offensive team.
Yeah. You would hope, you would think that they would have a stronger offense this year.
Yeah. I think over the course of the year,
I bet they will get there.
They're going to get there. They're going to get there. It's going to be fine. I'm not worried about them. I think the Jazz are going to be
these ready early to roll. Weeks. I think are still going to be fascinating around the idea that I mentioned last week of like which teams are just like picking off some games that they really shouldn't be winning.
Yeah,
and because of that, they're a 6 seed instead of a 10 at the end of the year.
Yeah,
in this like this area where I feel like a lot of teams are just feeling each other out, but also they don't quite know what their own team identity is yet. And I feel like this is a time when a lot of veteran players are just like, we'll be fine. Like, you know, don't kill yourself, you know.
Yeah.
The intensity of the games is probably not like 1,000%.
I mean, except for one specific team.
Which team?
That's the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Uh-huh.
Minnesota Timberwolves, owners of the best point differential in the league.
Mm-hmm.
Best record in the league at 3-0.
Mm-hmm.
And some impressive wins.
Mm-hmm.
Right? The Timberwolves, they beat the Heat, they beat the Nets, and they stomped on the Hornets. Right? And that Nets game was a game that it felt like they weren't going to win. And they got it because Kyrie Irving tried to Benny Hill his way into a game-winning shot.
Well, they also, was that also the game that they, or was it the Heat, where one player hit three three-pointers in a row?
That was the Heat game. Where
most improved player 2020, Andrew Wiggins scored 9 points in a row.
Andrew fucking Wiggins. Crazy. Yeah. I mean, I think you can absolutely credit this start of theirs to one guy, and that's the Big Cat.
Yeah.
The Karl Anthony Towns. He's
probably playing like as the best big man in the league. Probably.
Right now.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, yes, 3 games. I mean, you know, I feel like I want to not say like yes, 3
over
games
and over,
yeah. over and over, but like yes.
Because otherwise, we could just not put a podcast out until January.
Yeah, dude, it doesn't matter until the Super Bowl's over.
But Karl Anthony Towns is playing incredibly right now.
Yeah, he is. And he's had a great run. And I'm, you know, I'm excited to see him have that corner that he has turned. And like, you know, he was number one pick, you know, it was all about Karl Anthony Towns, and he has not disappointed, but he hasn't been like,
yeah.
Oh my God, I'm impressed. He's just been like,
at no okay. point in his career up to this point would you be sad that you picked him.
Yeah.
The way some people, I guess, would be sad that they picked Andrew yeah. Wiggins, even though he will be the most improved player this year.
Oh, yeah.
But this year, like, you know, if he can sustain any version of this throughout the rest of the year, it's pretty incredible. I'm amazed by how many three-pointers he's attempting per game.
Yeah.
Almost 10 per yeah. game.
I mean, he has found out that if you can shoot and make the three, you need to take the three.
Yeah. What is his actual listed height under the new rules?
6'11".
Okay.
That's my guess.
I wonder, where do you find these official heights? He's listed as 7 feet on Google, but...
Oh, I saw 6'11 on ESPN.
So that's probably the real one.
It's right? probably the real one. Man.
I mean, if you're...
My guessing game.
Well, so wait, part of it is also like... There's really not that many 7-footers.
No, there aren't. And if you're 7 feet tall, like legitimately 7 feet tall,
yeah,
you know, go play basketball.
Because I feel like Anthony Davis was often mentioned as a 7-footer.
He's a 7-footer.
Well, he's like 6'9½.
So there's like things about being a 7-footer, right?
Yeah.
Part of that is wingspan, right?
Which
and if
has.
You have the wingspan of a guy who's much taller, that makes you essentially taller,
right?
For the game of basketball. So, you know, I'm not worried about Anthony Davis.
It was interesting though that Anthony Davis and LeBron are similar heights.
Yeah.
My point was, if you're 6'11 and can shoot 10 three-pointers a game and make 5 of them, it's like, yeah, you probably should, because like it's your shot is going to be very hard to block.
Oh yes.
And he can also face up and handle the ball.
Yeah.
So you know, this is essentially what we all wanted Derek Coleman to be back in the day.
And he never got there.
Never got there just because he seemed like kind of a lout.
A lout. That's a fun word.
Yeah.
Well, the only NBA podcast where we'll insult players from the past with words from the past.
That's right.
Rule of threes.
Andrew Wiggins has got his field goal percentage up to 43%.
That's the best in his career?
It's up there. Last year, I believe he was at 40. Still not shooting the three very well. Yeah, I mean, I guess the problem with Andrew Wiggins is you kind of like one, like what you're kind of like, what kind of player are you again? Like, yeah.
What are you doing?
What is the thing that you do that's better than everybody?
Yeah.
But maybe he'll get the, you know what? You know what he does better than anybody? Make 3 3-pointers in a row and score 9 points.
Boom. You win the game. So, he won that game.
Because he's also quite tall, isn't he?
Yeah.
And has a good wingspan.
Yes. I mean, he's got all the physical stuff. He just doesn't have the,
He is rebounding the most he's ever rebounded in his career.
Wow. So, well, he's going to do that all season is what you're saying on this podcast.
I would say if he finishes the season, let's say he finishes with, could he finish with a 20 and 20 and a 7 for rebounds and gets his 3-point shooting up to like 38%.
Okay.
I'd say he'd be in the running. He'd be in the discussion.
Okay. All right.
He'd probably have to be more like a 25-9 for people to be like, he's the most improved.
Got it.
Because he's also a former number one pick, isn't he?
Wiggins, yes.
Yeah. So he has some expectations to live up to. Any other teams you're having early impressions about?
Let's see. Other teams I'm having early impressions about, I would say let's take a second and talk about the Phoenix Suns.
Uh-huh.
Right? I think everyone expected the Phoenix Suns to be a tire fire.
Yes.
And they are just a normal basketball on fire.
Just a basketball on fire.
Which is their logo.
Right.
I think that it was
from the
very
heat of the sun, I presume.
Yeah. Very impressive to see them put the hurt to the Clippers.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That was a game that they almost lost.
Mm-hmm.
They, the night before, had blown a lead to the Nuggets. It feels like they are trying to turn the corner from being the worst team in the league to being the Detroit Pistons.
Uh-huh.
Right? Is that the corner that it feels like they're trying to turn right now?
I mean, that would be a good corner for them to turn.
Right, because they don't have anything else going on.
Well, the main thing is they don't want to be Sacramento.
Yeah. Ooh, Lord.
And by the way, the Clippers were on a day of rest. They had a day of rest, and Suns were back-to-back.
They just didn't show up for the game because Patrick Beverley decided to shit the bed.
And of course, by standard reasoning, this makes the Phoenix Suns the best team in the league.
Yes, because everyone is predicting the Clippers to win the championship. Because the Suns beat them, they are the best. And the teams that beat the Suns, they don't matter because they had to travel to the Sun to do it.
I mean, the Clippers have kind of looked a little bit world-beaty. So
in their wins, for sure.
Yeah, in their wins, and so for the Suns to like clamp them down.
So here's the thing that I think that says about the NBA: it's that the worst teams and the best teams are still competitive.
Yes.
Right. Games in this league are competitive and fun, and we're gonna have a great time watching them. You know, yeah. I'm into it.
Yes, I think. I feel more confident in your statement when we talk about the West.
Okay.
I feel like there will be some Eastern Conference games where we don't enjoy watching them.
Yeah, that's fair. Like,
they might be competitive games, but they're going to be like with a Phoenix game, even if they're losing a lot, or a Mavericks game, let's say, you've got players you would enjoy watching.
Yes.
That will try shit.
Yes.
I feel like in the East, there's some teams that might be.
Well, I don't know.
Honestly,
I'm gonna say one player on each East team that you can cheer for.
Okay.
Right?
Ooh.
Indiana, you're gonna cheer for Miles Turner.
Okay.
All right. Chicago, that's a Lauri Markkanen team right there.
Lauri Markkanen.
New York, it's Frank Ntilikina. All right, Frankie Smokes.
How much is he playing in games?
He is played in the third game and he is
Wait, how do I root for him if he doesn't enter the game?
I mean, how do you root for stuff? It's crazy. It's hard out here. Okay, Mitchell Robinson
instead. What about Oh, no, Julius Randle, former Laker.
Yeah, okay, good.
Or RJ Barrett.
Charlotte, there's a clear winner here, and it's Dwayne Bacon.
Dwayne Bacon, who I don't know nothing about.
But his last name is Bacon. Okay, take that.
take that.
Take that. Cleveland, you've got the year two, the revenge of Colin Sexton, and then also our two favorite pre-purge Lakers.
LNJR.
Yes, absolutely. Brooklyn, how can you not root for the future of banking, Spencer Dinwiddie? Washington, you know who to root for in Washington.
Bradley Beal?
Rui Hachimura.
Oh, yes, of course.
Who is...
how's he playing?
He's playing great. I mean, I don't think he's been transcendent to the point of like rookie of the year talk, but I think he's been good enough to be in the conversation for like first team all rookie. He's scoring 16 points a game, getting 7 rebounds a game, right?
Yep, good.
Those are the numbers you need to do that thing.
Yep.
Okay, are you ready for this? We have it all. It is Orlando.
Mm-hmm.
Orlando, you could root for Markelle Fultz.
Okay.
He's going to do something. Detroit, if you're watching that game,
I root for Blake.
And not rooting for Svi, I don't know what to do.
Oh, yeah. With you.
Milwaukee.
Again, tough to root for players that aren't on the court.
That's true. I mean, he's like on the court. He's just not.
That's true. His feet are
in the
lines
on the court.
That's good. Yeah. That's a good point.
I don't need to say anybody on Milwaukee. You know who to root for there. Dante DiVincenzo. Boston.
No one.
Yeah, okay. That's the one team where I'd be like, ugh, Boston. Atlanta. Man, Atlanta looks exciting in the first three games so far. Everything they've done has been so fun. Then we got Miami. You know, you can root for the kids and old Jimmy Butler to yell at those kids as soon as he gets back. Toronto, the world-beating duo of Pascal Siakam and Fred, I've got a good logo, Van Vliet.
Oh, I've got a better logo than Paul George, Van Vliet.
Yes. And then the last one, the Philadelphia 76ers, who have looked so ugly so far this season. So,
well, I haven't watched a game of theirs yet.
Oh, my God.
What's ugly about it?
The fact that they're just hitting people in the mouth. They're playing
ugly
ball.
In a good way?
Oh, yeah. Ugly in a good way. Yeah. Yeah, they're 3-0. They're doing great. They're playing like total assholes.
Well, sometimes you need to do that.
Sometimes you do need to do that.
I guess I'm more worried about like if I put on a Chicago Indiana game, because Indiana is a team that we all thought was going to kind of put it together.
And the first three games have not put it together.
And so they could turn into a very depressing team to watch.
They certainly could. Yesterday I watched a significant portion of the Detroit Indiana game, and I was entertained. You know, I have my reasons. One of them is that I think that Domantas Sabonis looks like a character from Final Fantasy Tactics, but that's my own thing.
What's Oladipo's status?
He is out. He will be back at some point this season. They think maybe January.
Also, I believe Klay Thompson is now out for the season?
No, that's not what they said.
What did they say?
They said, we do not expect him back this season.
Okay.
We're not preparing like he's going to be back.
Okay.
That does not mean that he is 100% out. That just means that like they're setting their expectations.
Right.
And I think the Warriors should be doing that. I think they should be setting expectations a little lower because they're bad.
Yeah.
So that's all.
So you have prepared some stats for me.
Yes, I have. I got a couple little guys going on here where I was like these are either going to last or not going to last, and I want to talk to you about them. And the first one is that we've got some players with some real high PERs.
Okay. All right. You know how much I love PER.
I know you love PER.
I love John Hollinger.
Love John Hollinger.
Bullshit stat.
And I think that it's important to note that, you know, LeBron James is settling in about where he normally does in PER, right? At about 29, right? That's like a normal LeBron James PER year. Seems like that's checking out. However, there is a player above and a player below him.
Ooh.
And I wanted to check and see with you if you thought that these players would kind of hang around in the top of the PER charts all season. The first one is Luka Doncic.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that Luka Doncic's early success which has come a lot from steals, a lot from rebounds, a lot from just filling up the stat sheet. A little less on, you know, like he's shooting poorly from three. His actual field goal percentage is 50%, so he's in the upper echelon there. Do you feel like his deal is that he's going to compete with LeBron for efficiency supremacy?
I think Luka Doncic will stay there.
Okay.
Yeah. Because he's less of a, even coming into last year, he was already had been a professional for a couple of years. And so like, it seems less fluky to me.
Yeah.
Good performance. And also I feel like he's high up in this PR mostly because of his, I want to say his assists and his true shooting, which I think can stay.
Okay.
Like I don't feel our fluky highs. And did you say he's not shooting well from threes so far?
No, he's shooting about 31%.
Yeah, so I mean,
which is acceptable, but not great.
But there's room for improving there that can kind of keep him up where he is.
Yeah.
So I would say I think Luka Doncic will stay.
All right. Somebody else who is up and around there is the new guy in Indiana, Malcolm Brogdon. Malcolm Brogdon, always been a efficient player, but now he's getting the run and the role to expand into being a superstar in the league. Do you think that he will continue this run, even if the Indiana Pacers don't live up to what they were expected to be this year?
I'd be very surprised if he stayed this high.
Okay.
Especially once Oladipo comes back.
Yeah.
I'd be surprised, but I don't, to be honest, I don't know a ton about Malcolm Brogdon's game. I'm looking at this, the ESPN PER chart right now.
Yeah.
And, he's very high in assist ratio, which is surprising to me, but maybe it's not a surprise. I don't know.
Yeah.
Also this chart's hilarious just because of like where it puts different people.
Yeah. It's very funny, right?
Like, is James Harden even on this page anywhere?
I mean, he's not had the PER start to the season that you would expect him
to. Right. So he's not in the top 50.
Yeah.
And is Westbrook is up here. Okay. Yeah. Okay, cool.
All right. Then I wanted to talk about something that we had already talked about, but this is an obvious no. I wanted to say,
or is it?
do you think that Mike Conley's 20% shooting is going to stay below 40% this season?
Oh, you're saying that's an obvious no?
I think that it's, sorry.
That it will end up above 40?
I think that, yes, it's an obvious no. It will end up above 40.
Ooh. Off the top of my head, I don't know what he has, what his career average is.
Got it.
So I'm going to say that it will stay below 40.
Interesting. For his career, his average is 45.
Yeesh. He's a good shooter.
He is a good shooter. He always has been. And so that's why I think that, you know, this is our small sample size theater early season. I think Mike Conley is going to turn it around.
Yeah. I mean, I would assume he would, but I've already said that he wouldn't. So I'll stick with that.
Okay.
Because also Curry's not shooting very well. Harden's not shooting very well.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I wonder if some stats, for example, rebounding is probably not a like, I wonder what if some things like shooting three pointers are more susceptible to rhythm and doing it at a game pace every day over and over, and so that like 2 months into a season you're just feeling better about shooting three pointers in games than you were at the beginning of the season.
Yeah.
And are there other sets like offensive rebounding, they're just kind of like, no, you just like, if you have the drive to go get them, you go get them.
Yeah.
So
There are four players in the bottom 50 of PER that are averaging over 30 minutes a game.
Ooh.
All right. They are Eric Gordon.
Mm-hmm.
We got Tyler Hero.
Uh-huh.
We got TJ Warren.
Okay.
And there was one more. No, there was not. There was just three.
Okay, so these are guys are, not, you know, in terms of this stat, not playing well.
Not playing well.
But playing a lot.
Playing a lot.
That's kind of fascinating. And by the way, side note, ESPN RPM is not available so far.
Yes, that is correct.
Because of how complicated that algorithm is that no one knows what it is.
It takes so long to crank that computer to get it going.
Yeah, they have to physically crank this computer.
It's crazy. It's rotation plus minus until they get the rotations going, and then it becomes real.
So
those three players are having a shit start to the season.
Yes.
This means that my my earlier talk about TJ Warren looking good might have just been one game.
Or it might have just been that he's looking.
He looks good.
And also, I will say, at position number 253, Pat Bev.
P-Bev.
30.3 minutes per game.
Wow.
So what's your question about these four? Which one of them is going to stay at the bottom?
Yes.
When you say stay at the bottom, do they have to stay with still this number of minutes per game?
I mean, I think they should be, you know, do you think that this negative start is going to continue for the season?
Like, for Tyler Hero, it's not surprising because he's a rookie.
Yes.
I also feel like, what is he, like a small forward?
He is a, like a shooting guard.
My guess is he's getting more minutes than he should.
Yes.
At the moment.
Oh, yeah.
And that they will sort of, you know, dial him back. So my guess is at the end of this year, he will either not be in the bottom 50 or he won't be over 30 minutes a game.
Yeah, got it.
Eric Gordon. I would hope, since the Rockets are my favorite team, that Eric Gordon moves up out of this. And yes. I like Eric Gordon a lot.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say that he will pull his game up out of the basement where it is, because he's very low right now.
Real low. I mean, he is just shooting like he's never shot a basketball before.
Yeah.
It's basically the Eric Gordon trick, in that he is shooting 30% from the field and 21% from three. And then he's shooting 65% from the free throw line.
Yeah. That's always inexplicable.
I mean, yes, it's inexplicable, but it also seems like he's shot three free throws and made two of them.
Is that really what it is?
I mean, that's what it looks like.
Yeah. I'm going to guess... So this is what I'd say. I'm going to guess that Eric Gordon will not be in this list because he will be above the top 50.
Okay.
I'm going to guess that Tyler Hero and TJ Warren's minutes go below 30.
Okay. I don't think TJ Warren's minutes are going below 30. No, he really is their starting three.
Oof. Oof, I say.
Oof to you, my guy.
What is their roster right now in terms of where will whose minutes will Oladipo take away?
He's going to take away minutes from any of their guards. Let me check.
Justin Holiday?
Yeah. Yes. He'll take away minutes from Holiday.
And he'll take minutes from Brogdon, probably.
Yes. He will definitely take some minutes. Like, not too many, because they got signed to play together. Like, yes. That's their deal.
This is my guess, that he will create a little cascade.
Yeah.
That ends up taking 6 minutes away from Warren.
Okay. All right.
That's my fair guess, that they might run some like three guard lineups.
I mean, I think he'll mostly take all of TJ McConnell and whoever E. Sumner is, Edmund Sumner.
Yeah. I mean, he should probably take away TJ McConnell
minutes. Yeah. How many TJs are there in the NBA?
In the NBA? I don't know. I think we talked about how many were on the Pacers.
Yeah, there are three in the NBA.
Wait.
And there are three on the Pacers.
So they have a monopoly.
They have a monopoly on all the TJs.
So they could run all three of them at once on the court. And have no, just leave their two blank.
Yeah.
All TJ team.
The all TJ team. And I think I'd vote them all first team all TJ.
Doug McDermott's still in the league?
Dougie McBucket.
Still in the league on the Pacers?
Yes.
It looks like Jeremy Lamb is also injured for them.
He got injured.
Okay.
He'll be better.
I think Warren won't be above 30 by the end of the year.
Okay.
Because also the other thing you have to presume is that a coach would be like, wow, you're playing terribly, I'm going to keep you the starter.
Yeah.
Which is maybe not
Yeah, I think you hope that that's not how it's going to work out.
Now, to be fair, Jeremy Lamb has played one game so far this year.
Yeah, because he got hurt in that game.
And he also is in the bottom 50.
Oh, okay.
So if he he might just get up to 30 minutes and take that slot from TJ Warren.
Yeah, he could. He could.
What are your feelings about these guys?
I think that Eric Gordon is going to be better. I think that Tyler Hero is not. I think that he's going to lose minutes once Jimmy Butler gets back and they settle on their rotation.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think TJ Warren is going to be bad all season. That's my thing. I think he's going to be bad because while he looks good in that one game, I have to remember he's still TJ Warren.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I mean, if we're going by PER, the arguably I would say the worst player in the league right now in terms of how many minutes he's getting is Mike Conley, because he's getting the most. He's getting tons of minutes, and he's in the bottom 10 or 15 players in terms of PER.
Yeah.
So I do hope that turns around, because I believe everybody likes Mike Conley.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Also, I don't know if you saw him see who's dead last in PER.
Who's dead last?
A player you told me to root for, Frankie Smokes.
Oh, well, hey. I'm not saying that Frankie Smokes can't pull it together. You know, me and F. Smokes, you know, we're the crew.
Mm. By the way, not related to anything. Has Michael Porter Jr. made the court yet?
I don't believe so.
Is he still injured?
No, he's just still a GD rookie.
Oh, okay. Well, because I was excited this year to see him play finally.
Yeah, let me check if I'm right. That is correct. He has not made the court.
So he's just a DNP.
He's a DNP.
DNP CD, as they say.
Yes.
So, any more advanced stats for me?
No, that's it. That's all I wanted to talk about.
So
mostly because when I was looking it up before the podcast today, I couldn't sort by total rebound rate.
Well, also, BBREF. Also, this would be a good time to check in to see if Hard Word Paroxysm has got some stupid Lonzo Ball advanced stats to put out there.
Oh, he's got some stupid advanced stats to put out there. He's doing them with the same type of... it's very early, but look at these numbers.
Well, the thing is, okay, is my guess is he has not done anything for Lonzo Ball.
Yeah.
Because Lonzo Ball is no longer a Laker. And because hacks like this dude know that they can basically tweak... Oh, he is doing this bullshit.
Yeah.
So, like, he's on his bullshit about on-off-court bullshit stats, right? And then he never follows up again in the rest of the season.
Okay.
And
well, okay. Can I
by the way, when he presented them for Lonzo Ball, he did not frame them as extremely small sample size theater, which he is now. He never did. He never gave a caveat. He was saying how bad Lonzo Ball was. And he was completely benefiting from the fact that tweaking the Laker fan base creates views for you. Which is why he gets attention doing this kind of bullshit.
Yeah.
And out of an interest in like really figuring out whether or not Ingram was better or worse when Lonzo was on the court, he never followed up like halfway through the season to see if that was still true.
Yeah.
And he won't with these either.
Yeah.
So,
I think one of the things that I can defend about this is that, we miss about half of the tweets that he does because he tweets so often that it's hard to not scroll past them.
Yeah, I actually don't follow him anymore either.
Oh, so. Great. So then, yeah, I'm not worried about him.
Yeah, he's an idiot. He's an idiot. He knows as little or less than we do about basketball, but makes money doing it because he likes to anger people.
Yeah.
So
sounds about right. I mean, and the only people I like to anger are all of our lovely listeners.
That's right. And we'll be angry Sunday, 3 o'clock
boop, boop,
Pacific.
Boop.
6 o'clock Eastern, the Heat versus the Rockets. Check that game out so we can have a little talk about it.
We're going to chat about it.
Next week.
All right. Hey, you got any shows this week?
I don't know.
Ooh. How did that Coconut Club show go last week?
The Coconut Club show didn't happen.
Oh.
Because it was three people. It's me, Ashley Ward, and Nick Mandernack. One of us got sick. And the two of us were already getting off of a sickness.
Oh, wow.
So one of us got sick, and the other two said, well, we just got unsick. Combined with the fact that the lineup for the show was never pre-announced.
Oh.
It was just, this is the anniversary show.
Got it. So they...
we felt okay about...
Yeah, that's fair.
...not going. And good timing, because one of the people, not me, that had just gotten over a sickness, the next day got sick again.
Oof.
So, there you go. You're what, 7 out of your 10 shows so far?
I think I am 6 out of 8.
Ooh.
Because tonight is our 7th show, and then tomorrow is the 8th show, and then I have Halloween off. I'm there.
Most adult Halloween things in LA happened this last weekend, it seems like.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like some of them are going to happen next weekend, too. When it's in the middle of the week, both the pre- and post-weekend are Halloween eligible.
Okay.
So, yeah, I mean, I still got my...
yeah, what shows you got?
Tonight, playing the Copper Sill Comedy, doing some Mighty Night music. Very excited about that. And then tomorrow, I got a Logan Everett show at We Improv, which I'm real excited about that. And then the only thing is November 7th, big show alert.
Ooh.
Logan Everett is having their 2-year anniversary of Logan Everett's yearbook. So,
very nice.
Real excited. We got some former coaches to come through.
Thursday, I guess?
It's a Thursday night.
Where is this going to be?
Moving Arts Theater.
Cool.
Same time, same place. Every first and third Thursday for 2 years. So, yeah, we're really happy to invite some of our coaches out and some people we really enjoy watching play. We're going to have a blast. I'm excited. Hope to see you all there.
Cool. I will be in Magic to do Thursday.
Ah, there we go.
And then Friday, a lot of Fridays I'm in Baby Melts Candy, but not this Friday, because this Friday I'm going to go see Circa Humans.
Ooh.
One of my favorite circuses from the Fringes that I've gone to. They're in town.
Awesome. So. That's awesome.
Other than that, let's check out Heat Rockets on Sunday.
Yeah.
And we'll see you guys next week. Goodbye.